next Exodus will be its greatest Exodus. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender from a Comfort Inn in, it's either Lyman or Lehman, Colorado. We are in the Great Plains now. We came out of the Rocky Mountains last afternoon, and it was rather harrowing coming across the pass, the Continental Divide at, what's the name of that pass up there? I can't remember. It starts with an L, seems to me like. But anyway, it was snowy, it was windy, wind gusts of up to 55 miles an hour. But you get up on that crest and down you come, and we are now in the plains. If you're heading west into Colorado from Kansas, you're essentially still in Kansas at the Colorado state line for another, 100 miles until you run into either the Rocky Mountain or a Coors truck. You notice in the background I have some classic art here that's hung up on the walls of the Econo Lodge here in Lehman or Lyman, Colorado. Not sure what it is. Yeah, these are classic prints back here over my shoulder. And I am sharing coffee with you. They have homemade coffee here. They have a pot in the room, which is very gracious of them to put it here. But how often do you get porcelain mugs? Very rare. So I'm sharing my coffee with you here this morning. As you listen to the Revelation series, to the tale of the two witnesses. It's not a tale. To the facts, the coming facts of the two witnesses. And you also hear about this road trip that we are engaged in. Got in late last night. My two sons, my daughter-in-law, Mushroom, a native Chinese woman, beautiful, funny, cute, great hairstyle. First thing I did when I met her was I just rubbed my hand on her hair. That's how you get to know somebody, you know, you just kind of like start feeling their hair. Her hair is shiny and black and beautiful, as Asian hair generally is. No, it's not racist. If it is, it's good racist. Yeah. Why isn't my hair shiny and Asian-like, huh? Yeah, instead, this is early morning. Got in too late last night to do anything productive, so I'm here with you in the early morning sharing coffee with you. Now, I am going to do something daring, something bold, something that has never been attempted. What, you don't like the green hue? I don't know why it's green. The lighting here is strange. I look all green. I'm greenish and sickly, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. It's the word coming forth that matters. So I'm going to do something this morning never before been attempted, and that is I'm going to draw you an analogy between Pharaoh and the man of lawlessness. Because consider this exodus that Israel is coming into. The exodus of ancient times, their exodus out of Egypt, there is a parallel there. They were under taskmasters in Egypt. They were slaves under taskmasters. Today, they are slaves under the heel of the world. They are not manifested yet in the capacity they will be in the 1,000-year kingdom. They have overseers. They want to be the head and not the tail, but presently, they are the tail and not the head. Very small nation. This is why they will embrace the lead of the Antichrist. They will embrace the coming of the Antichrist because they're impatient. They are tired of waiting for the Messiah because, as you know, they're still waiting for the Messiah. They missed that memo. He's already been here. So they will accept the false Messiah, again, due to impatience. And this will bring them into a situation of slavery, much like the slavery they suffered under the Pharaoh. The Antichrist, who the man of lawlessness, who will at first bring them times of peace, plenty, and a treaty that will protect their activities in the false temple, he will turn on them, and he will enslave them and persecute them, much like Pharaoh did. But there is a great exodus coming. God's leading his people Israel out of the desert is a dress rehearsal, really. It is a small picture, a microcosm, if you will, of the greater exodus out of this current eon, out of this eon of their humiliation into the glories of the kingdom. God gave them food in the wilderness. He gave them plenty. They had enough for the day. But again, that was only suggestive for you Israelites who think you're going to be going back to a time in the wilderness. Oh, don't tell me we're going to get quail and manna again, Zender. No, you're going to have grapes the size of Volkswagens. You know, and there was a hint of that when you came into the Promised Land, wasn't there? Yeah, there was a hint of that stuff, but you had to fight for it. You had to battle the Canaanites, the Amalekites, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, and all to get to that Promised Land. Now God is going to go before you in a bigger, deeper, richer way, and the nations will be vanquished before you. Congratulations. But until then, you are going to be under the power of the man of lawlessness. You're going to be beholden to him because you live by him, you die by him, and you're going to live by him. I don't know why you would do that. You learn nothing from your history. Sorry about that. Romans chapter 9. Why am I dipping into Romans in an exposition on the unveiling of Jesus Christ? Because this is what I do. Here is a parallel between the raising up of Pharaoh. Why Pharaoh? Because Pharaoh was the persecutor of the first Exodus that inspired the first Exodus. The man of lawlessness will be the persecutor who will inspire the second Exodus. Verse 15, Romans 9. For to Moses, God is saying, I shall be merciful to whomever I may be merciful, and I shall be pitying whomever I may be pitying. This is otherwise known as the sovereignty of God. He makes out of the same lump of clay different vessels. Vessels of mercy and vessels of dishonor. Consequently, then, verse 16, it is not of him who is willing, nor of him who is racing, but of God the merciful. 17, for the scripture is saying to Pharaoh that for this selfsame thing I rouse you up, that I should be displaying in you my power, so that my name should be published in the entire earth. Let's review here, ladies and gentlemen. God is saying to Moses, I'll be merciful to whomever I will, and I'll be hardening whomever I will. He told him this to prepare him for the fact that he himself would harden Pharaoh's heart to persecute Israel so that God could then deliver Israel from the clutches of Pharaoh. And he was pitying Israel at the time by bringing them out, and he was hardening Pharaoh. So Pharaoh, the object of the hardening, Israel of the pitying at that time. And it will be the same in this coming time. Only the Antichrist will be the man who will be hardened by God to prepare for the greater exodus of Israel. And it is not of him who is willing, nor of him who is racing. I tell you this so that you can have in your heart some form of mercy and understanding and long-suffering for this poor man of lawlessness. I say, poor man of lawlessness, because whoever this man is chosen, whoever this man is, whom God chooses, will be inhabited by Satan, taken over by Satan. May even be an embodiment of Satan. Not sure of the details there. But this is a hardening by God. God does not leave it to chance to bring these things to pass. He wouldn't leave to chance a stubborn Pharaoh. He purposely hardened him, made him obstinate to his own decree through Moses, let my people go, so that the miracles would follow and Israel would be delivered. Those miracles are hinted at by the two witnesses. The river turned to blood, the fire, the judgments, the death that comes to those who dare defy God. This is what happened to Egypt, to the firstborn in Egypt. Verse 17 again, Romans 9, for the scripture is saying to Pharaoh that for this selfsame thing I rouse you up, that I should be displaying in you my power. I contend to you that God himself will raise up the man of lawlessness. The man of lawlessness does not become who he is out of his own free will. In the Romans series, this coming weekend, I'm talking to you about the premonition of the creation. The creation has been subjected to vanity unwillingly. The man of lawlessness will be subjected to this evil, to this vanity, unwillingly, but by reason of him, of God, who subjects him, that God would be displaying in him his power. How does God do that? Because by hardening the man of lawlessness and bringing forth the wild beast, he can then create the drama that highlights the heroes of faith, the deliverance of the faithful woman who is nurtured in the wilderness. Why is she nurtured in the wilderness? For the same reason Israel of old was nurtured in the wilderness, to show the glory of God. God chooses not to show his glory apart from antagonists, apart from the dark background, and he raises up his own antagonists to make sure that they are antagonistic enough. And he does this with the man of lawlessness, that his power might be displayed. And we are seeing God's power displayed in the unveiling of Jesus Christ. In order for this to happen, we need enemies. We need antagonists. God himself raises them up, that his name should be published in the entire earth. Verse 17, earth. Now, his fame has been known through the earth because of the Exodus. But if you look around you on the earth, this is a very limited revelation. People see Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments. They see Yul Brynner in the Ten Commandments. They say, well, look at that. The glory of God is published. It's actually a movie. Everybody knows about it. They made a cartoon of it. Disney, everybody knows the story. But not everybody has a heart recognition of the meaning of God's power and of his love. This comes in a much greater way through the second Pharaoh, who I will call the man of lawlessness, or I will call the man of lawlessness the second Pharaoh. I will call this coming Exodus Israel's greatest Exodus. The Pharaoh and their capture and persecution in Egypt was only a premonition of the greater deliverance. Verse 18, Romans 9, I'll close with this. Consequently, then, to whom he will, he is merciful, yet whom he will, he is hardening. Whom he will, he is merciful. For you Israelites who are listening to this in the time of affliction, he is merciful to you in that he is sending to you two witnesses. Listen to these witnesses. They have been sent to you by God. Look how they are destroying their enemies. Look, that's the power of God coming to you very, very soon. But you must endure to the end. And I want you to consider this, because you never have, Israel. You never have considered this, that God is also hardening whom he is hardening. He hardened you and your ancestors for centuries, for millennia. Now is the time of your softening. Now is the time when he's going to put a heart of flesh inside of you. But don't disdain those whom he has not given this heart of flesh yet. Don't disdain people to whom he has not even revealed himself, namely the nations, namely the man of lawlessness. None of your conquering occurs by your fleshly means, but by the power of God. Never forget this. Never forget this. This is the revelation you have longed for. This is your deliverance, that God is sovereign. And that your deliverance comes not by might nor by your power, but by the grace and mercy of God. Don't despise that, or don't despise what he does with your enemies. Your redemption draws nigh. Look up.